Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, returning after an extended weekend from 4th of July. It was nice, it was wonderful, it was god-awful hot. All I could think of was, like, Biloxi Blues. It's an old Matthew Broderick film where it's just hot. It's just hot. Hot. Anyway, I know, a lot of you are like, what? Who? Matthew what? You mean that guy from The Producers? Yeah, he's done some other films, some crazy stuff, not just Ferris Bueller. Anyway, back, returned, we are sponsored by Suzy Q's, the overly talented, incredibly whimsical Suzy, who creates works of art that you can just wear. She is running a special right now, thanks to us working together, the Dragon Scale bracelet, which is a huge fan favorite for her shoppers, she says. This is probably one of her more popular bracelets, and she's giving a deal by using the code DRAGON at checkout. You get a special 20% off your purchase on the Dragon Scale bracelet. A lot of different colors are available. Go to SuzyQs.com. The link is in the description for the post. If you're going over to Facebook or if you are on the Podbean app, it should be there. I'm not sure if it shows up on the iHeartRadio app. I should check that out. I know it populates, but I don't know if it automatically does a link to it. But if it's not there, go to the Facebook page, go to her Twitter account, her Instagram account, because she's posting up daily, not only just the Dragon Scale bracelet, but like the earrings and all of her other creations that are just inspiring. Love it. Thanks, Suzy. And what else? What is going on? Holy crap. I take a week off, I come back, and hellfire and damnation is broken loose. We've got trailers out the yin-yang. Got a couple new comic book inspired series that hit Netflix, one of which we will do this week's shakedown on. Warrior Nunnarella will be this week's shakedown, in addition to the latest and greatest in geek news. And we are going back to the restaurants that helped me survive the COVID. Yes, those wonderful little spots that helped me get through the dark days. The days of bleakness and obscure dining options. That'll be closer towards the end of the podcast. But, like I said, lots of stuff going on. The Geekverse is in a very interesting state of flux. Cons are closing. And why not? Let's get kicked off with this story right away. One of the titans has pulled the plug. The Dragon Con, which is probably... I don't know. I think I don't want to say fan favorite, because it just downplays the intensity that Dragon Con really is. If you've never been to Dragon Con, you need to go. Not just from the standpoint of a fan or a particular fandom or you're in the Geekverse, but just from the pure point of watching people. It is entertaining. It is a sight to be seen, and it is not for the faint of heart. It is a lot of people crammed into a tiny, itty-bitty little living space. It is 4 hotels, and I've talked about Dragon Con before. And if you're a cosplayer, this is like basically Mecca for you. You go there. Not only will you be inspired, but you will meet so many talented people, so many people that are all about the cosplay, all about the art, the procedure, the just what it takes to be a creative force in the cosplay world. And you got a lot of people from, you know, novices to expert. I mean, you got people walking around. I saw one year this guy who was, he built like Stewie from Family Guy, but built an entire mech around the Stewie doll. And he's in this somewhere. So you can't see where he is in the cosplay because dead center focus is the Stewie head, and that's not his head. So he's somewhere in there working this huge robot mech with Stewie as the driver, the arms move. I mean, it's inspiring and just like, wow, how the hell did you have time to do that? Forget the talent, forget all of the lights and the electronics that go into it and the automation and the engineering. When do you find time to do that? Because you know what? COVID hit. I thought I'd have time for stuff. It's just the opposite. I got no time for nothing. I'm running all over doing more stuff than I think it was before. So to see this stuff for Dragon Con is just, like I said, inspiring. So if you're even remotely interested in going to cosplay, even if you just want to go hang out, have cocktails, perfectly acceptable. Been there a few times before I really was into doing the Ghostbusters, doing cosplay and all of that. And then, you know, once was more into the cosplay world, doing more costumes, more stuff. It's definitely it's more enjoyable to be in a suit than not in a suit, because you've got everybody who wants to take pictures, who wants to be, you know, with you and involved, and it's worth the trip. Even if you're, I mean, one year I went as like a tactical Ghostbuster, had my Ghostbuster tack gear on, I wasn't even in the suit, still got pictures. People are like, wow, that's amazing. So it's worth the trip. Anyway, the trip is going to have to wait, because it's not happening this year. Dragon Con officially pulled the plug, and I'm not surprised, to be honest with you, just because of everything that's going on. And it pains me to see all of this happening, all of this going on, but at the same point, it is necessary for sure, just to keep everybody safe and everything that is going on. Dragon Con actually released this statement saying, after many months of sleepless nights and Zoom meetings, and more Zoom meetings than they can count, we have decided the Dragon Con 2020 event will not be held in person. Trust us, we are just as bummed as you are, but no, we did not make this decision lightly. Above all else, we want to thank you, our fans, our partners, the ACVB, and the City of Atlanta for the support you have given us over these past few months. I'm sure the influx of letters, concerns, questions was mountainous for this, because I mean it is huge, the numbers that Dragon Con pulls. And it's not just the con. I mean, you still have a dealer's room, you still have guests, you still have the parties that rage all night long into the morning, into the next week. So this, for the safety, I can understand, because there is absolutely no way the social distancing can happen there. Just even walking is a challenge. So I applaud Dragon Con actually just saying, you know, we're not going to do it. They have issued statements saying that everybody has the option to just let everything roll over if you're already a member. And that will happen by August 15th if you do not get in touch with them, to let them know what you want them to do. But if you want a full refund, if you want to transfer, if you want to do whatever, Dragon Con is being absolutely flexible with the fans right now to help accommodate next year's event, which of course will be Memorial Day weekend or Labor Day weekend on next year. Every year, Labor Day weekend. So without fail, they'll be back, not worried about Dragon Con whatsoever. Also in con news, this came over to me. Denver Comic Con, of course, we know, pulled the plug because of the convention center is still a mobile triage just in case COVID kicks back up. So what Denver Comic Con has done, like many other cons, has decided to do what they're calling Xtreme Con. X-Xtreme Con. Get it? Stream? Ha! This is actually starting today, July 14th, and will run through the 17th. You can go and check out. They have different events that will be going on throughout the week, different panels, live interviews, Q&A. There's a couple of different creators that they've got coming on. It looks like it's going to be kind of fun. I mean, of course, you know, we've talked about this before. Is it as fun without, you know, the booths and the interactions and all that? But at least Denver Comic Con is putting something out there to encourage everybody to go to see what's going on. And it should be a good time. And if they got it going on all week for the remainder of the week, that's actually kind of cool. Because it is hot, and this is definitely a good time to stay inside. Check it out. You can go to www.denverpopculturecon.org for more information, to see the layout for the schedule, to see what days would work for you and what the programming is available. I'm sure you can also visit their Facebook page, where they have a lot of this put up. But it looks kind of fun, a lot of different interviews, and yeah, it looks like a blast. So something to do while the kids are hiding from the heat, or while you're hiding from the heat. Whatever suits you. So trailers. Oh my god. Trailers, 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 trailers. Of course, the big one for me. Actually, you know what? It's hard to say what the big one for me is, because I'm eagerly awaiting both of these, as everybody knows. First off, of course, Umbrella Academy, which we've had lengthy conversations about, is just an unstoppable force, and I cannot wait for it. We did post up the trailer for that as it premiered. In addition to The Boys, that trailer popped up as well, giving us a lot more info as far as what's going on, and I think it's so hard to say which one's better, because they're so different, but they're so the same, and they're still comic book properties, and all of that wonderful nonsense that they become. But I really think out of these two, Umbrella has probably got me the most curious, just because of how it ended. Where is it going to go? The Boys is just going to be The Boys. The Boys is just going to be this savagely brutal experience, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and it is the perfect blend of everything. Violent. Umbrella has at least kind of a darker side to it, but it still at least focuses in on the family. There is actually a message there. I'm curious to see, because in the trailer we do see them confronting Dad. Dear old Dad is back in the trailer. And I think there's a bit of a hashing out with Dad, even though he hasn't even raised him yet. So there's that. So I can't wait to have that conversation between Dad and Klaus, or Five for that matter. Five, of course, is running around trying to locate everybody. So I have a theory that somehow everybody got displaced, I guess, in space and time when they traveled back to the 70s. So all the characters are back. Even Hazel's in there, and he's looking like old and grizzled. It's awesome. But no Mary J. Blige, at least not in the trailer. Of course, she did go up at the last second in the end of last season, and she was trying to find a way out. So I'm curious to see if they would bring her back, but I did like Cha-Cha a lot. Her character was just fun, and I really wasn't expecting that kind of range out of Mary J. Blige, so it was fun. It was a good character for her, and just to see her play that kind of role was it was fun. So with all of the characters with Umbrella back together, it even looks like we get Pogo back, who just got a raw deal at the end of season one. I'm anxiously awaiting this. The Boys, of course, picking up where it left off, kind of with a jump in time, it looks like Butcher somehow gets away from whatever Homelander was going to do to him, and we catch up a few months later, which is fine. I'm okay with them jumping forward a little bit, but everything is just so choppy with the boys. You don't know where it's going to be or what's going on. But they have released this information saying that the boys they'll do their regular season run, but then at the end of the season, they're going to have like a mini movie. And the mini movie is going to focus on what Butcher was doing in the interim. So after he gets away from Homelander and till we pick the story back up when he catches back up with the group. So there's a whole story that precedes everything that is a mini movie at the end of this season. So we get a little extra bonus, which I'm not going to argue one bit about, because if this is kind of like the Butcher limited series that they did in the comics, I'm all in. And just to see Carl Urban more Butcher, the better. So don't forget to just kind of watch that. I'm sure everyone is just going to blaze through this series. And why not? I mean, I've already watched it a couple times. It's hard not to, and just to get caught back up with, because there was a lot that went on. So just to see where everything is, just the refresher, definitely get caught up. So it's worth your time. I know it'll be worth your time. You got nothing else to do. It's the middle of summer. And did I mention it's hot? The other trailer, which just landed yesterday, and I couldn't be more excited, more happy, is Lucifer Season 5, which, of course, we know you're getting Lucifer Season 6, which we reported a couple weeks ago. But to finally see, like, concrete evidence that this is going to happen, yay! The story is interesting, and I don't want to give away anything. Go watch the trailer. We posted it up yesterday on the Facebook page. It looks so interesting, and I'm excited. I'm so excited to see what they do. Not to mention, I mean, we get one more season after this, so Lord knows what they have in store. But it looks like they kicked it up a notch, a little steamier, a little more action. Well, I mean, they might as well. They've got the budget now. They've got no restriction as far as being on a network, and that is absolutely the way it should be. So, all in. In other news, speaking of Netflix, Old Guard premiered this last week and sat down and watched all of that, and I have to say, well done. Well done, Netflix. I think that this was absolutely enjoyable to watch for a film. I know we had a conversation while we were watching it that maybe it would have been better as a series, and I disagree with that. I've had this conversation with a few people now where I think it as a film was way better and much more poignant, and it carried, I think, a more weight to it. It had a better consequence to it with it just being the film. There are things that, of course, you would like to know. The Old Guard, of course, is a bunch of immortals running around doing good deeds throughout time. So yes, I know, immediately I had the same analogy. Well, isn't that what the Highlander did? There is no one running around trying to take your head. Although they all do have swords and weapons from the era in which they became immortals. So, kind of a homage, I think, to the Highlander, the immortals out there. But the story is great. The action is good. The characters are inventive, and I, to be honest with you, this actually was a comic book series from Image Comics that I never read. It's only up to issue five actually will be coming out this week, so the movie covers the issues that have come out. So now I'm absolutely curious to find out more about the Old Guard. So I don't know. I'm thinking actually there's the trade that's available at this point for the first story arc. And I think, as far as I know, the comic kind of follows suit with where the movie ended. So I think this was the actual perfect balance of what they wanted to do, what they needed to do, and is absolutely, absolutely enjoyable. It doesn't drag. It works very well. Unlike this week's Shakedown is a little, I don't know. So the week prior, with everything going on and me not being here last week, we sat down and watched The Warrior Nun, which was not as enjoyable as The Old Guard. Unfortunately, it was just long. And maybe it was too long. And maybe this did suffer from them just trying to fill time. But when I sat down, the first like few episodes, the main character with the powers is just whiny and constantly running from everything because of situations, and it just and she has this internal dialogue that is extremely difficult to decipher when she's speaking and when she's thinking. Of course, they abandoned this about halfway through the series, just to end up like at the very like final episode, pick it back up again, and it's only for like one or two lines that she internalizes. So it is very weird and disjointed. And it takes a minute to get used to, and then all of a sudden they just abandon it. For obvious reasons, because I think they realized it wasn't working. The story isn't awful, but what is just the long, boring dialogue. And when you finally think that you're going to have something happen or there's going to be some excitement, there isn't. The downside to this is the comic book, for all intents and purposes, was relatively popular and did an amazing job of telling the story of the warrior nuns and everything that was going on. This is back in 91, 92, when the comic book was released. So I'm familiar with the original story, and I know it's changed throughout the years, and this is more of a reflection of like the current warrior nun than that one. That said, though, the dialogue and at the pace that this flows is just slow. And you keep waiting for something to happen because we keep running. That doesn't change. It's just a game of a movie about chase, playing tag almost, as Shotgun Mary is constantly trying to run down the warrior nun. And we get some interesting special effects. We do get some interesting background on the creatures and the characters. And there's not as many cuts to back in the day or the other warrior nuns that I was hoping for. It is mainly focused on current times. Even though they speak about the other nuns, and she has flashbacks of them in her dreams, and all of this goes on, but my God, I honestly think that some of the dialogue could have just been replaced with a couple of sequences. It would have probably been easier to show them, to shoot them, rather than this lengthy conversation in a car, or this long conversation on a boat, or it's just really just one long conversation after another. We do finally get some decent scenes, and I'm not saying that it is a total waste of time, but it is a long game. And the one thing we noticed as we're sitting there, and I'm starting to notice this more and more, it's only 10 episodes, which, okay, I know we've kind of gotten away from 12 episodes now to 10, but what's really starting to annoy me and seems to be kind of like an uptick is the length of episodes. I'm fine with, you know, 30-minute episodes, but when you're kind of billing this to an hour, but you're only getting like 40 or 45 minutes, like they're still trying to film taking commercials into account when there isn't any, because you're on a streaming service, unless they're thinking later they're going to sell it to a network, but I don't know who you're going to sell it to. Okay, I mean, maybe one day this will end up on Sci-Fi because they've got no other original programming to fill it with, but maybe. And that could be in the longer plan that they have. But I really, if I'm sitting down prepared to watch an hour show, I want to watch an hour show. And I'm not the only one that has voiced this opinion. So if you want to give me an hour, then make it an hour. If you're going to make it 30 minutes, then make it 30 minutes. Give me one or the other. But, and if you want to go a little over an hour, hey, all the better. At least I'm getting something for my time. Do I feel bad for sitting and watching all of The Warrior Nun? No. But I can say that I really would not have sit and power watch it. This is actually one that I probably would have just stretched out because I kept waiting for something to happen. I kept thinking that the next episode was going to have the big demon fight, or there's going to be more demons running around, or, you know, we're going to see a little bit more of hell. Because, I mean, that's the whole point of it. They're fighting demons and wraiths that are inhabiting people's bodies, making them make bad choices, or to be there to help steer them towards, you know, a wrong choice. And we get hints of that, but it's just not enough. And there's not enough action to really warrant sitting and powering through all of this. Take it at leisure. In fact, if you did this at once a week, you'd probably be doing yourself a favor. But that's my opinion. I could be wrong. And that's this week's Shakedown. The Warrior Nun. Dun, dun, dun. Actually, if I worked that right, you should have heard some stylish music. Doo-doo. Going on to what's going on in movies. And I can't wait till theaters open again because then I've got somewhere to go to watch. As much as I love my home system, I really miss the theater experience. And this is actually one that I want to see in the theater. Monster Hunter director swears his beasts are more detailed than Jurassic Park's. The Monster Hunter video game, which we spoke about, this story broke a while ago. In fact, we were still a team, and I think this was like actually last year that they announced the Monster Hunter game was being adapted for film. Mila Jovovich is the main character, and it's being directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who is absolutely pumping up his achievement and what he has accomplished for this film. Of course, there are prehistoric sets and beasts that we have seen in Jurassic World, but he says all our monsters are 50 to 60 feet tall. They're really amazing. Rebuilding them in even more detail than the dinosaurs of Jurassic World. This, of course, is a direct quote from Anderson, which appeared in Empire magazine. He went on to say, they look even better because we shot on real locations in South Africa, which gives the animators something to really match into. Okay. I don't know. At this point, it's really hard to say we are going to have the better monsters. You can have the better monsters, but it's going to be kind of hard to fight the monsters that we saw in Godzilla, or the kaiju with the deep. So, Pacific Rim. You can give me a good-looking monster, but what does it do? Does it fight? Does it sit there and look pretty? How does it render? Because as much as I love the monsters in Godzilla, and as detailed and as fantastic a job as they did with the special effects and the CG and just the imagery of a lot of it, especially like the Mothra scenes, Rodan had some particularly impressive scenes, picturesque, if you will, but the action was a little... I know Mila Jovovich is an action star. She loves her nerds, and her nerds love her, as they should. But if you have beasts that just kind of sit there, like Jurassic Park, because nothing is as exciting as a dinosaur eating leaves, or a dinosaur laying on its stomach because it's eaten too many leaves. I don't know if saying, if boasting that you're going to have better looking dinosaurs than Jurassic Park is where you want to come off of. The question that I would be asking, or coming out and saying, is if you like the Capcom game that has inspired this film, you're going to love this movie. That it is absolutely on par with what you have played and takes it a step beyond. That's the comments that I want to see. That's what's going to inspire me to want to even be more anxious and excited about this film. Of course I'm going to go see this. Don't be ridiculous. But at the same point, I think you're coming at this all wrong. Yeah, they look great. Cool. But how is it compared to the game? Because let's face it, and we talked about this before, the only time that there has been a successful video game movie is Pikachu. So, that in mind, where does that put you guys? I have absolute faith in Anderson. I'm not saying he is a bad director. And the technology is where actually it should be at this point to pull off something this grandiose. Because the game is actually fun. I enjoyed playing Monster Hunter. And it came, actually I'll probably revisit it here not too much longer. But when it came out, when it landed, I had other games going on. It did come in at the right time that there was a small little vacuum for me that I could probably play it a little bit longer than you know, normal, just because of other games that came in like right behind it. So it's not one that I don't want to pick back up. That's the funny thing about those. You want to get back to it, but you just keep like forgetting about it or pushing it off or things of that nature. But the game was absolutely worth playing. Of course, you know, wanted more monsters, wanted more DLC, wanted them to expand this already colorful tapestry of creatures that they have thrown at you. How many of them are going to come from the game to the screen? Another excellent question. Will we see other monsters that maybe later will make an appearance in the game? This is something that I think if they did it correctly and approached it, it would be fun. It would be a great way to see some other creatures that later you can hunt in the game. So maybe we'll see. The movie was originally scheduled for a September 4th release for this year that now has been pushed off, delayed, and otherwise rescheduled to April 23rd, 2021. And yeah, I mean, that kind of wraps all of that up. There's a still out there of Mila Jovovich wielding this huge badass sword, and she looked rugged, I'll tell you that much. So I'm in. Like I said, it is something that I cannot wait to see on the big screen, but I hate waiting. Let's see what else. Also in streaming news, let's flip on over to Disney Plus, who continues to pump out hit after hit after hit. The Mandalorian, I'm still watching that over and over. It seems at least once or twice a month I'm revisiting that series just to get my Star Wars fix, just because it is that good. News has been released that Star Wars The Bad Batch is going to be the next animated spinoff that will be heading to Disney Plus. The story of this actually is kind of fun, and I'm very intrigued by this because I liked the characters. At the end of the Clone Wars, they bring in these clone troopers that are just Rex. Like, one's actually even named Wrecker. The Bad Batch, Hunter, Wrecker, Crosshair, Tech, and Echo. Echo, of course, they save from the robot, from the Empire. yeah, I'm no spoilers. So basically, these guys come in as elite troopers to help Ahsoka and break into a secure facility with Rex. And it was a really good filler to get us to the end of the Clone Wars, and I really liked these clone troopers. So to hear that they're going to get their own animated spinoff, and let's face it, I was looking at Disney Plus last night, and I can't tell you a time that I don't remember there not being a Disney animated series going on. Regardless of movies or where we were, there always seemed to be some animated Star Wars something going on. So right now, this weird little vacuum of nothing seems to kind of feel weird. So to see that they're going to do this and fill this in makes me overly excited. Dave Filoni also is coming back to do it. So they didn't go to somewhere else. They didn't find someone to continue the stories. They went right back to the team that made it work. So we're going to see all of the executive producers return. Not only Dave Filoni, but Athena Portello, Brad Rao, and Jennifer Colbert all are coming back to produce the show. They haven't said how much we're going to see of episodes or length or any of that, and I'm absolutely sure that it's going to be just a weekly release, just like they did the Clone Wars, just like they've done the Mandalorian. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I really like the approach of weekly installments because it gets you excited, it gets the wheels turning, you're not stuck. It's a huge quality of life. Let's look at it that way. Because you're not stuck. You're not invested into this whole marathon. You can watch the show. You can plan around it. You can do whatever. It's waiting there for you. Or, you know, if you want to binge it, you give it some time. No one's going to do that. You'll probably binge it after you've already done the weekly installments, just like everybody did The Mandalorian and continues to. This we'll give you your Star Wars fix, and again, I don't know if we're going to have Jedis in it. I don't know how this relates in the timeline. They haven't released any of this information, so it could be what happens after the Clone Wars. It could be right in the midst of the Clone Wars, or the fun thing about this is we don't know where in the timeline it could be or what they're going to have going on around them. So this is spectacular. Absolutely a must for any and all Star Wars fans. Let's see. Speaking of fans, this was an interesting story. It landed last week, and I kind of shook my head because there's so much Batman news and everything going on that I wasn't sure where I sat on this, but if you missed it, Ben Affleck has signed a contract for HBO Max to come back as the Batman. With everything going on with the Snyder release and all of that, it appears that Affleck is ready to come back, be the Batman, do something for HBO Max, and continue what he wanted to do. The problem is that there were some creative differences with Affleck and what was going on. Because Geoff Johns is basically the one that's getting blamed for the friction, why Affleck didn't want to do it. I honestly think Affleck didn't like the initial pushback. And then when everybody was fine with how it turned out and was kind of semi-praising him as a decent Batman, he kind of wanted to revisit, and not to mention he really doesn't have anything else going on. If you want to blame Geoff Johns for the reason, fine. But with Snyder coming back and Snyder being involved in this HBO series, I'm okay. I'm curious. I want to see where this goes. There's so many things going on now, because you've got Keaton, who is coming back as a Batman. There was some footage leaked about Keaton was in talks to come in during Crisis on Infinite Earths for the big CW thing, but they just couldn't get it to work out, and that's okay, because I'll take Kevin Conroy over Keaton, just because it was so cool to see him in a semi-bat suit. But you've got Keaton, you've got Michelle Pfeiffer, who is going to be, they're saying she's signing on for Selena Kyle, and now you've got Affleck coming back as the Bat. That's a lot of bats, so I don't know if we're going to try a multiple Earths, if we're going to see more series, or how they want to break this out. There are rumors that we will see Batman Beyond, and how that's going to play out, if that's going to be Keaton in the streaming service, or if that's going to be somebody else, is an excellent question. The problem is no one is really being forthcoming, but everybody's getting signed. So I don't know if this is also a way of them locking people in while they figure out what they're going to do, because they don't want anyone to get away. They have plans, and they want to orchestrate this huge DC something-something, but just are in, you know, limbo, just because of everything that's gone on. So, man, maybe they've got everything laid out in scripts and they're good to go. I'm still upset that it's going for the HBO Max series, and it looks like a lot of things are heading that way. So we may see the end of the CW as we see Stargirl, which I think has been one of the best CW shows for the superhero genre this year, flip over to HBO Max for next year. So season two is going to be over there. I would like to think they would continue, because DC streaming has Stargirl on Monday, and then of course the CW gets to air it on Tuesday. So I would like to see that continue, but regrettably I doubt it will. So one more streaming service to add to the belt. Speaking of streaming services and other things that are coming up, Tron 3 finally is in serious consideration. Disney execs say the time is right for the sequel. It's already been 10 years almost since Tron Legacy, and I talked about this actually a few months ago of why we never got it, and why didn't we? I loved it. Of course, the film made like $400 million globally at the box office, but, you know, Disney's all like, meh, we'll make another crappy Pirates of the Caribbean film. We'll forget about Tron. Evidently now that is not the case. With the streaming service and everything set up the way it is, they are seriously considered bringing it back. They have a script, which is even more impressive. So the executives are sitting on the script that they like. There's not a whole lot of revisions. Now it's coming down to who can they get. Of course, that will be the big question. Will we get any of the characters back? Because I think that kind of is the key point. I really want to see what happens with Flynn's kid. I really want to see, you know, Olivia Wilde's character, can't think of her name at the moment, her in the real world, the new life form, what it means to society. So I'm really, 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 really want to see this story complete. In addition, of course, the big kicker is getting Daft Punk to come back. And of course, Daft Punk absolutely open to the idea, and they have quoted themselves, and they've been quoted multiple times on this, that yes, we want to do another Tron film. We want to be involved. This is their fandom. This is their dream come true. And obviously, you can tell with the helmets and the lights and all the fun stuff. And let's face it, the music that Daft Punk created for Tron Legacy is way, way beyond anything I could have hoped for. It exceeded all expectations for me. And yeah, so, so good. But I'll keep up on this one, because I really, really want to see what happens. I want an end to the story. I want to see what happens next. Really want to see properly what happens next. So just give me the story. In other news, we have the brilliant and wonderfully charming fan favorite of the page. I've spoken with him. I've been on stage with him. Rob Paulsen, the voice of Yakko Warner, did an interview in a magazine recently, I think it was Animated Magazine, talking about the relaunch of the Animaniacs series. In addition to his shining career, his long, lustrous voiceover career that has spanned since the 80s, and the one book that I haven't picked up yet, and that I've been meaning to, is Voice Lessons. That is basically kind of an autobiography from Rob as he's progressed through his career. The article itself is awesome, but in this article, in this interview, he's asked directly about the Animaniacs reboot, and he's basically just telling us that it was set for a fall premiere, but that was, of course, before the pandemic, and everything's kind of in flux. It is set to hit Hulu, and he hasn't indicated in the article how many episodes or what the detail of the episodes are going to be. However, we are getting basically all of the original cast back together. So Tress MacNeille, who was Dot, and of course Jess Hartnell, more importantly as Wacko, will be returning. Maurice, who, of course, is the Brain, will also be there. He also voiced Egon from the Ghostbusters cartoon, the real Ghostbusters. Got to meet him. He is hilarious. Anyway, and, of course, they've been here for Denver Comic Con. But with this news, I can't wait. I want my Animaniacs. They're saying that the writers are just as inspired as the original staff. Spielberg, of course, is involved and is powering the project. So to expect the same amount, if not better, class of jokes, quality, and everything else that we've come to love from the Animaniacs. The article is very endearing, and Rob is so gracious of a human. He really is. And having spoken with him on mic for interviews, and then off mic and hanging out with him and talking, the man is just so genuine. I can't say enough nice things about Rob, because I don't have that kind of time. So pick up that book, Voice Lessons. In addition to, keep an eye out, Hulu's going to have the show, another streaming service. Thank God I already have Hulu, but still, damn it. Can't we just get everything on one platform? That's why I have cable. Damn it. Cable. Anyway, there is no mention of whether or not he will be involved in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles project that I talked about two weeks ago. But that, of course, may not have been released by the time this article was done. But there is no mention of whether or not he will be returning to voice another turtle, since he's already done Raphael and Donatello. I would think Leo would be next, right? That only makes sense. In publishing news, book nerds, and I really, really wish Red was here. And if you actually read, follow up on what's going on with Red. She's been doing her own little video series. During the lockup, she has been doing her own bullet journaling. And she has a YouTube channel that I would like for you to go over and subscribe, take a look at. It is called Stationary Play. It's very much Red. And she is in her element, talking about some of the things that she loves. Her booze, of course, which everybody really loves the booze. They're spectacular. But go over to Stationary Play on YouTube. Subscribe. She's only been at it about a month. She got her flow, the kinks worked out. So that's what Red's been doing during the lockdown, and has been releasing these episodes weekly. So go give her a visit. The point that I would love for her to be at right now with us, however, is Ready Player 2. It is the sequel from Ernest Cline for Ready Player One. We're going back to the Oasis. The book will debut November 24th. And I'm curious how well this is going to do. As soon as Spielberg read the first one, signed it to a movie deal, basically latched on with both hands and made sure that there was no way they were going to pry it out of his cold, dead hand. Will that be the case? Will lightning strike twice? Of course, this kind of predated all of like the 80s craze that hit when you're thinking about like Stranger Things, and even Red has spoken about other books that dove into this topic, that examined this era, but did it better, in her opinion. And there are some things in the book that were kind of like, okay. I mean, by no means the book was, you know, a flop. I mean, it was translated into 37 different languages, and is available in 58 different countries. So it was a hit. It absolutely struck at the right time. Having Will Wheaton do the audiobook, even more brilliant. So and I don't know. I mean, how this book ends, without giving away too many spoilers, the good guys win. So it begs the question of, okay, so what's next? Who's player two? Why are we going back to the Oasis? Is Holiday got some other caveat to, once you run my company for so long, there's something else that happens? I don't know. It is definitely a world I kind of want to go back to, just because of how interactive the Oasis could be. And I mean, of course, it's just filled with a bunch of 80s pop culture references, and there's some kind of fun stuff in there too. But no point during the press release of Ready Player 2 coming out is there a synopsis on what's going on for this book. They just said it's coming. So I don't know if they're just not wanting to get any spoilers out there, if they just don't want to ruin it, or what they want to do. So I'm holding judgment. I will read it, without a doubt. I mean, I tore through the first book in relatively short time. I think it was like a weekend, and I was done. So again, the book hit at the right time, even for me, that I could sit down. I didn't have to pace it out or, you know, stretch it out over a couple of weeks. I was able to just sit down and power through it over the course of a weekend. So I don't know if we'd see a movie. I don't know if they'd even really warrant a movie. I actually want more time in the Oasis. I want more planets, I want more worlds, I want more exploration, and maybe they've made some changes, and the changes have definitely backfired on them in ways that they didn't think. I can only speculate at this point. I'm sure you could go to your local bookstore and get in your pre-order now, because I'm almost going to bet this is going to end up kind of like Harry Potter in a way, where people are overly anxious to get a hold of it. And November 24th, so that's right around Thanksgiving, so you got something for the weekend in case you don't want to deal with your relatives. Absolutely. In video game news, and now I really wish Private Cheeseburger AA Ron was here, or Tao, who are fine, who are thriving as best as you can. Private Cheeseburger is hard at work, and Tao is lost in the Oasis. The Fortnite has decided to create a Captain America skin, and we know how much Private Cheeseburger loves Fortnite. He even wrote an article, View from the Foxhole, how much he loved Fortnite. The first Avenger is arriving in-game. He should be available now at this point. And he includes a couple of different items. He does come with an Adamantium shield. And some other a pickaxe. So, okay. I don't know what Captain America needs with a pickaxe. But he does do a grand salute emoji and a couple of other things. I'm sure as they get a few things locked down on what they want Captain America to do, it just seems like a strange character to load into Fortnite. I'm surprised Disney, it's nothing to do with Marvel at this point. I'm surprised Disney is allowing this. I mean, maybe they're doing kind of like it's modified enough that you can't go directly saying that it's Captain America, but they are outright saying this is Captain America. Like, okay. I haven't played Fortnite in a small lifetime, so I couldn't even tell you what's going on in that game. But give the fans what they want, right? Oh, what else? Well, that kind of wraps up the news, so that brings us to, yes, you guessed it, restaurants that helped me survive the COVID. Boom, boom, boom. Let me try that again. Restaurants that helped me survive the COVID. Every week I've brought you different restaurants, different styles of food that helped me through the COVID, and this is no different. Well, it's kind of a little different just because of the story that's involved. This has nothing to do with my quest for wings, because they don't have any, or my quest for spicy drunken noodle. Who has the best drunken noodle on the planet? Still working on that. No, what I did find, and this is actually so inspired. It's like the crown jewel to House Atreides. It is, and I'm talking about Outworld Brewing. It is this spectacular, envisioned mecca for beer and brewing, and the team that they've got working there is just as passionate and inspired for alcohol and beer as they are for science fiction. These guys are absolutely brilliant, mad scientists when it comes to flavors, and I was absolutely blown away. The problem that we ran into was these guys, Outworld Brewing, opened just before COVID hit. They are located off of 1725 Vista View Drive in Longmont. And their approach to beer is unparalleled to anyone else in town. It is unique unto their own vision. And as this vision evolved, so did COVID. But that didn't stop them. The doors opened, and as the doors opened, the beer began to flow, and the food was back on. These guys have come up with some very unique and interesting pairings for their brews, and they're absolutely inspired to what tastes good to what they're serving you. It is a brew pub, don't get me wrong, but the food is spectacular. Their ideas of pairings and how it's prepared is just, I'm like I said, I was blown away. When we go in, you've got these booths that are along the side of the wall that are very reminiscent of just about every cantina scene you have ever seen. And like I said, there are some heavy Dune inspirations. But I still, when I got in there, I honestly felt like I was waiting for Han Solo to come and sit down next to me and wait for him to shoot first, because he did. The point is, though, these guys are on point. Their choices for food are unconventional, unique, and inspired, oddly inspired. So right off of the bat, you have to try the Hush Puppies. My God, are they delicious. I never thought I would get psyched about Hush Puppies, but I didn't get enough. I really wanted more Hush Puppies. After the of course, it's an appetizer and dinner's coming, but I really, really did want more, and I could just see just sitting there, just loading up, just carb loading one weekend. Why not? Because that's what you do. But so delicious, and the sauce and the cheese and But they do more than just appetizers. I mean, Chef Justine, I believe, is the driving force in the kitchen, and what she delivers is next
to Unrivaled in Longmont and a lot of the brew pubs that I have been to, starting with an inspired chicken and waffles dish. Now, I've been to Roscoe's and I've sampled a lot of different chicken and waffles around the world, around the country. And these are, the waffles first are light and airy with a great flavor. The chicken, of course, was perfectly cooked, and it wasn't overcooked. It wasn't dry. It had the right amount of flavor and moisture to the chicken, because that's what sucks. And a lot of the chicken and waffles that I have had, the chicken is always over-fried, and it tends to dry out or just, you know, cardboard. It's like it's almost an afterthought, or it's just leftover chicken from yesterday's special. And the waffle is only the true fresh ingredient that you're getting. And that isn't the case in this dish. It is thoughtfully prepared. It is excellently executed. And like I said, the flavor on the chicken is right there, right on par. I mean, I know you think chicken and waffles you can't screw up, but trust me, you can, and they're not screwing it up. And the perfect garnish. And I don't know if it just missed it on the menu, but it came with bacon. Chicken and waffles with bacon. Perfect garnish. I couldn't think of a better garnish on anything, but let alone chicken and waffles, this was delicious. Of course, also had the Wagyu beef burger, perfectly cooked, excellent flavor, so good. And that is a rarity, because usually when you hear someone say they've got a Wagyu burger, it's not really, it's a pale imitation, but not the case. This hit the spot. It was perfectly prepared, and I can't, I really want more on that one. The last thing that took me by surprise, and I didn't try it, but I think Brett Leader 1 has, and I just want to try it so I can just pair it with different beers, is they have schnitzel. I haven't had schnitzel in ages. This is an absolute brilliant idea. And just to see a brew pub, and I didn't get to talk to Chef Justine about the schnitzel. I was too hung up on the Wagyu beef. I really was. Just because of, you know, Tuan and I going around and doing all of the ramen throwdown and the night markets and all of the different foods and flavors that we've sampled. I was hung up on that. I didn't even get to the schnitzel, which I think is perfect. It's absolutely a brilliant idea. I don't know why more brew places, I mean, I couldn't see Breckenridge doing it. And, you know, that would be kind of like right in their main vein. These guys have got it down to a science. Not to mention the beer, which I could get a DD, guys. That's all I got to say. Get a DD or Uber in, because you're going to want to try all of it. And they're not even at 100%. I did get a tour of the facility. It's sparkling, it's fresh, and the ingredients are even fresher. I really can't say enough of this joint. If you're in Longmont, go adventuring. Go check it out. If you're in the neighborhood or you're looking for just something to do, somewhere to drive, just to get out, this is definitely the place. They do a trivia night, and that's kind of what we were there for when we finally came back. Now that COVID is, you know, letting restaurants open up, it's nice to go back, be able to get in there, hang out. It's a fantastic venue, and I have a feeling that I'm definitely going to be going back a few times, if not frequently. So check them out. Like I said, it is Outworld Brewing. You can check them on Facebook. They do have a webpage, and I think they're on Instagram. Yeah, they're following us on Instagram. Yeah, so go check them out. Worth it. And that's another restaurant that helped me survive the COVID. Boom, boom, boom. And actually, I think that kind of wraps us through this week. Nothing else has kind of popped up while we've been on the air. So it is good to say, safe to say, that... Oh, there was one story that popped up. This kind of actually just landed, and I'm not sure how I feel about it. As there are photos coming in from Marvel's new Hellstorm, that is going to be a new horror series that's going to hit Hulu. And I'm kind of in the middle. I never really cared too much for the comic. And I know they're saying that this is going to be the gateway to Marvel's unveiling of supernatural characters and all of that. And I'm sure it's probably too violent to have on Disney Plus, whereas, you know, Scarlet Witch and Vision isn't, a WandaVision, and Falcon and the Snowman. I mean, yeah, Winter Soldier and Falcon are a little more family-friendly. So with this going to Hulu, let me put it this way. I'm refraining from any judgment at this point. I will give it the benefit of the doubt, and I will watch the series. I don't know if it's going to be something that I'm going to be excited about. I honestly would rather have you... I'd rather see Ghost Rider. I would rather see something from the standpoint of patching up whatever Marvel Universe snafu from Netflix that can be salvaged to bring, you know, Punisher, Daredevil, Jessica Jones. I mean, Luke Cage is fine. I don't really care about Danny Rand. Iron Fist can just kind of stay in limbo. But there was just so many things that were just left out there. I mean, those are the shows that I really would like to see. I don't know if Marvel is just trying to spread itself too thin, but I don't know. Like I said, I'm reserving judgment at this time, at least until I'm able to sit down and watch it. I don't see a date as far as when the series will launch on Hulu, and maybe that's yet to come. They're just trying to get, you know, people hyped up, talk about it, and at least some buzz around it, because I'm sure, like you, this is the first I've heard about it. So, and the supernatural world of Marvel does have some interesting characters, don't get me wrong, but in fact, I wouldn't mind seeing kind of a Man Thing. You know, I'm sure it can't be any worse than Swamp Thing was on DC's side, so to see Man Thing kind of run around would be, I think, rather entertaining. So it would be fun. So anyway, that was the last sneak in as far as news is concerned. So that leaves us with the farewells. We will be back next week. Be sure to visit Suzy Q's, our sponsor, for the Dragon Scale bracelet, in addition to visiting Oddworld Brewing. Also, please give us a like, give us a share, follow. We are here to answer any questions if you got them. Spread the word of geek, entertain, and yeah, that's kind of this week. So in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.